is Rob Bell here, and we have another business spotlight coming at you. Today we've got Chris Bennett from Impressive Media Group. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it's really great to have you in the studio today, Chris. Of course, I met you over at the Empire Cigar Place, where I go over and get my cigars.
Yeah, I love cigars. You just broke my secret.
So, tell me about your business, man, because, you know, you're doing really great. You have, like, a lot of clients, and we need to find out more about your biz.
Yeah, I mean, we started a year and a half ago. Really, the concept came from I spent a lot of time in the auto industry. And in the auto industry, you get hit with, you know, I went all the way to the top, right? You know, just short of owning a dealership. You know, I went to school for it, the whole nine yards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you get hit with vendor after vendor after vendor of people trying to sell you stuff, right?
Like, and what kind of stuff? Like mirrors and...
No.
Windshield like wipers?
Lead providers, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, you name it. All these big brand lead providers, you know. And what amazed me... as I was getting like further into the auto industry, what amazed me is nobody actually took a step back and said, "What do you need? Where are you successful at as a dealership, and where are you failing as a dealership?" So that kind of always just stuck with me, you know. And so I decided to exit out at a really good time. I was able to bring in a partner, Greg Abel, who's 8-9 years into the digital marketing world. And we formulated a plan and just ran with it. And the concept was to go in, you know, everybody wants to be a millionaire, billionaire, yachts and, you know, Ferraris and all that stuff. We went in with really not even concerned about the money. We wanted to go into all different businesses and find out exactly what I'd said before, which is, what do they need? You know, what's their problem? And what are they really good at? And how can we leverage both to be able to help them grow their business?
And you talk about all kinds of businesses, not just
every
auto
kind.
Dealers.
Yeah, every kind. Actually, we try to stay away from auto dealers as much as we can.
Even though that's your sweet spot in a way.
Yeah, it is our sweet spot. I mean, we do have auto dealers,
right.
Auto dealerships. But, you know, it's a different market out there for auto dealers. I mean, it's a very – they work on a monthly grind, right, where it's like monthly – you know, this has to be done. This is, you know, we have to sell this many. We have to do this. We
right.
have to do that.
And if you don't do that, then you get fired, right? And they replace you with somebody else.
Yeah. Essentially, so, you know, a lot of general managers or a lot of general sales managers, and most now will get launched as we call it, if it doesn't work. But you know, you have OEMs, so you have the manufacturers, a lot of little stuff that plays into that, and you know, depending on the size of the dealership. You only have so much that you can do, and then you have a lot of internal processes inside the dealership as well that, you know, you have to spend a lot of time on.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are the most important part of any business, in my
opinion. Certainly think so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, if you're not dealing with good
people.
You got
to keep people happy also.
Yeah, you got to keep them happy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there was always a saying, keep your customers happy. You know, keep your employees happy, because your customers are the first, or your employees are the first people that are going to meet the customers. So whatever's going on in their world is going to be, you know, transformed over to the customer.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so does it depend on what kind of business it is, what kind of, you know, help you give them, or are there some basic rules?
That's a good question. We help all businesses. I mean, we're nationwide. You know, we have companies in California, we have companies in Atlanta and Florida and all around. If we can get in to the company and sit down with the right person and basically what I call is we do an internal audit and look at the factors of what is, you know, what do they need, right? What's the benefit? And
right, you have to figure out where they
yep.
are now and
yep.
where they need to go. Do the owners always know what they need to do? You know, where
yeah.
They have like an idea. They want to have a yacht and everything, like you said.
Yeah.
Do they know what, you know, tangibly they need to do?
Yes. Tangibly, they do know what they need. They need to do. They know what they want. Okay. They don't know how to get there. So we draw out the roadmap, right? So we're going to go from A to B to C to D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not this one size fits all. That it was another reason why I opened up Impressive Media Group, is because it was, everybody was running around that big vendors, right? And we don't call ourselves vendors. We call ourselves business partners because we help companies grow. So you just see these people going around and they go, this is going to work for you. This will work. This. And they sell this product. The same product they're selling a business in California, they're selling to a business in New Jersey. You got different demographics. You got different, you know, the geography is completely different. The way people shop is completely different for the most part, you know, and there's just too much noise out there. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were doing good by the business. Right now we have 100% retention rate.
So what you're saying is that if you had like two businesses that are basically identical businesses, but one's on like a West Coast, one's in the Midwest, and one's on the East Coast, that you would actually handle the marketing of them differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Based on the local geographic area.
Yeah, because you have...
That's pretty interesting. I've never really heard of that before.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, I mean, you know, people buy different things different ways in different areas, you know? And I probably talk too much about staying away from the one-size-fits-all, but it just doesn't make sense that you could compare what somebody in Wyoming is doing to what somebody in, you know, Pennsylvania is doing, because it's two totally different situations.
Just a totally different way to sell to that guy in Wyoming.
Absolutely. And a totally different way that they're shopping, right? If you take Amazon out of it, right? Because
it kind of flies in the face of the success of Amazon, right? Which is like a one-stop-fits-all, you know? Of course, they have everything.
Yeah, right.
So I don't think they really market differently to different geographic areas.
No, they don't have to because they're buying everything and they're trying.
Because they have absolutely everything available, right?
Yeah, and it's next day delivery and drones and all that stuff. But you know they're owning the world. I have the privilege coming up. One of the things I wanted to accomplish this year was, I was in my 5-year plan. Is I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to go back to my school and I wanted to speak. And I got the invite last month to come back and speak. And what I talk about is Mark.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Which school is that?
Bucks County Community College.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's to a group of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And it's the topic I always talk about is, and I change things up, but it's market legacy year 2020. Because you should, you know, what we do is we always are looking ahead. We're looking at tomorrow. We're looking at next week. We're looking at next year to see where packs of people are going to start to trend to where you can get to that space quicker.
And also social media is constantly changing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're changing the algorithms, right? You know, like right now, Facebook is cutting a lot of people out of it and YouTube and everything because they own that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything's evolving, you know. I mean, I've noticed that LinkedIn is getting a lot more sophisticated than it used to be. Mm-hmm. So I guess you guys have to be on top of that. I mean, is SEO an important
element? Well, it's funny you say SEO. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about SEO. I was venting yesterday to a friend about SEO. Yeah, SEO is every business has their tag words, right? So SEO is like a tag word, you know, hot word, whatever you want to call it, for marketing companies or SEO companies or whatever to get in the door and start to panic business owners. There's really two forms of SEO. There's on-site, you know, website SEO, and then there's a very strategic, smart, organic, which is what SEO is, but organic way of playing the SEO tool. And we do both. Mm-hmm. But SEO hasn't been perceived, or should I say, hasn't been welcomed properly to business owners because it's been sold as a one-size-fits-all situation. And again, it's not the truth. Most of the data that business owners have, they're sitting on right now, they don't realize how valuable that data is. That's their lookalike audience. That's their customer. It's one of the main questions that we ask people when we go in. If you could tell me who your majority customer is. Is it a stay-at-home mom, you know, ages 40 to 55, XYZ.
Right. Analyze your existing clients.
Yeah. For more future clients. Right. So then we can go from there. If they don't know that, then we know we have a problem with the business as far as them really having their fingers on the pulse. And then we go in and we get a little bit more in depth. So the reason why I say that, by doing that, we've grown, but we're growing at a slow pace that's a consistent slow pace rather than just running around like Wild Banshees just throwing, you know, stuff at people, products at people that doesn't make sense.
Right. Just pulling them out of the a hat, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
And instead, and then once you figure out, once the company figures out who they're, the majority of the type of people are, then you can target those with the SEO.
Well, you can target them with anything. I mean, really, the best one, you know, that we use all the time.
When they still use meta tags and everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way is really just depending on the geo or the person, should I say, I'm stuttering, but the person, you know, you have your age brackets for Instagram, you have your age brackets for Facebook, you know, you have Snapchat. You know, I just told a local ice cream shop owner, I said, you're absolutely crazy, because what you should have right now is a Snapchat filter. We live in an era where, in an area, in an era where kids are telling their parents
what to buy,
what to do, right?
Right.
What to do, where they want to go. Uh-huh. You should have that filter set up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost hardly anything.
Right.
And make it a big deal and give away a little bit of XYZ ice cream to get them to come in, know your place, and then you're going to be booming, you're going to be rocking and rolling, and you'll be the place to go for kids. Right. And mm-hmm. it sounds simple when you explain it, mm-hmm. but when the owners don't understand that concept, it's really hard to execute it.
Well, yeah, because Snapchat is, I think you have to be under 30 to even know what it is.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, I'm 36.
Pretty much. I mean, I know what it is, but, you know, it's like a lot of people can't keep up with all of these apps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard, but it's a good, I mean, I think even Snapchat themselves are having a hard time trying to monetize, yeah. you know, with ads because it is such a young audience that's looking at it. But if I took data from, I'm just going to say, I'll use a real estate company, for example, okay? Real estate company has a house listed, okay? And the house is $500,000, and it sits on a half an acre. I can pull, or we can pull age. We can pull people that are pre-approved. We can pull all the layers down to where you can literally get to the buyer of, you know, that's most likely going to
the
buy
most likely
that.
Buyer, right? Well, yeah. It's like, this is what realtors do, right?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we do work for a really good real estate company right now, and we were selling houses in 3 days. And I know it's a hot market, and I know people are, but we've
well, sure, because the interest rates are low. I guess there's a lot of selling.
Yeah, they're starting to creep up a little bit, but we took a house that they had that was listed for 6 months with another real estate, a really big real estate agency. Just for example, just giving you the example of the power of data, it was, mm-hmm. you know, and this is a real estate agency. The other one had a ton of marketing dollars behind them. Okay, but this is old fashioned. This is billboards. This is this.
Right, advertising, newspapers,
radio, commercials. You name it. Right, they're about as traditional and old school as you can get. This house sat for 6 months. They lost the listing. It came to our team, our guys that we represent. We just ran a simple Instagram, Facebook ad based off of who we believe that could
targeting the market,
target that actual market. Mm-hmm. It sold for $10,000 more than its listing price, and it sold in 6 days.
So there was a bidding war?
Yeah.
It must have been if it sold for more than the asking price, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise the guy says,
Nobody knew the house was for sale.
Or not the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't disposed to the right
exactly.
people.
Exactly. It wasn't out to the right people that needed to see it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, it's interesting. And now, you know, to me, it's like out of left field that you would talk about real estate sales. I mean, is there anything that you don't market? Every business is marketable in this way?
Every business is marketable. I'll tell you what, it's you know, as I get prepared to go speak next month to the group of entrepreneurs, we live in an era right now where it is like the best time to be an entrepreneur. Because you could literally be in your basement running XYZ company, mm-hmm. and you can have all the data at your fingertips. If you insert some basic common sense, you know, you can find so much information out. And, you know, we're seeing that turn with college now, you know, where it's like, you know, kids are coming out with business degrees, obviously, and it's just it's they're sitting at home. They can't get jobs. So, right. you know, if I wish every one of my kids was running towards an entrepreneurial type position, whether it was carpentry, whether it was
your kids.
Yeah.
You have kids?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How many?
I have a lot of kids. I have seven.
Wow. Seven kids. But they must be young.
No, believe it or not, they're not. I have four step kids and then three. So
okay, so yeah. You could you're setting an example here. Kids,
I'm trying to.
You want to make some money?
I'm trying to. I'm trying to be part of that movement. You know, that's showing the kids that this is the way that you should, in my opinion, be going, because this is going to be the future. Entrepreneurship in America is right now thriving. You know, it's just, you know.
You're saying the current administration is, I mean, I know the Wall Street is going nuts. It seems to be almost like on a bubble, you know, but I mean, they're very optimistic.
Yeah, I try not to talk. I try not to talk politics.
Yeah, I can see.
My voice just cracked when I said that. No, I try not to talk politics. I mean, but the reality is the numbers are the numbers. The data is the data, right?
Right.
We live now where companies are being sold or being purchased just for data. I mean, some of these companies really aren't worth anything, but because they have enough customers, they have enough data, they're either getting shelved, purchased and put on a shelf and hidden, or they're being acquired for that. I mean, Amazon bought Whole Foods, and everybody's like, oh, wow, right. they overpaid for it. I think they underpaid for it. I think they underpaid a lot for that. I think they got Whole Foods on that. But if you look at some of these, I try to follow.
Because of the database, you're saying?
Yeah.
Because Whole Foods has.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because they completed two things that would be on the list of a company. They got rid of a competitor, right? And then.
Who was the competitor they got rid of?
Well, Whole Foods by buying.
Oh, well, yeah, Amazon did. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And they got rid of them, but then they also acquired all the data.
But they weren't in the food business. That's like the only thing they weren't doing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, and I truly believe that.
They just took over.
Yeah, they just grabbed it.
Yeah, they grabbed it. Yeah.
And so many people have said to me, they paid so much. They paid so much. I'm like, they didn't pay enough.
How much did they pay?
A lot. Yeah. A lot. I don't know the exact figure.
Many billions.
It was many, 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 many.
But of course, Bezos, you know, he just makes so much money, and every minute he makes like $200 million or something. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and they're gonna.
He can afford to overpay.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you follow them, and they're gonna be in the auto business, and everybody says no. You know, it's, you know, I'm sure people hear this probably yell at me that know me from the auto industry, but they're gonna get there. At least they've pushed enough. That they've influenced, which I love, they've influenced other people to try to create that same type of buying atmosphere, but with cars. Mm-hmm. So you have Carvana that's out there that's delivering cars to your house and picking up your trade and doing different stuff like that. So, I mean, when you start to see these influences out there, you know, you see that there's a huge sector of the job market that's going to be shifted, mm-hmm. not taken away, but shifted. So I'm all for entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm, I absolutely love it. If you're a hard worker, grinder, you don't just post memes about it. You actually go out and do it, you know, and you can be extremely successful.
You should teach a class.
Right now,
at the college.
Right now, we want to get through that speech. And I actually, I help out four younger individuals that are all across the United States and show them the right way to do it. I'm really... and they're in social media marketing. Right. So they're strictly into the Instagram, the Facebook and stuff like that. And I'm showing them the right way to do it, because there's so many people out there that don't care. We're on radio, so I can't curse, but, I was going to say that they don't care. They just don't give a crap. Right. Mm-hmm. So they just want to run in, charge a company, and small businesses are the victims in this, right? Because they run in, they take the $500,000 a month, whatever it is, and they say, okay, we're going to do XYZ. And then they don't do XYZ the right way, right? I'm not saying they don't do it, but they don't do it the right way. And what happens is then the business owner, the small business owner, looks back and says, oh, well, social media doesn't work for my company. Mm-hmm. And that like literally is the last thing that I think of every night that I fall asleep is like, that, because that hurts so much, because that for
gives,
a small
it
business,
gives a black eye to the business.
Oh yeah, and for that small business, that is their most inexpensive gateway to the world,
right?
For their customers,
right.
For them to be able to manage, you know. So,
when you say the wrong way and the right way, the wrong way might still get some results, but not at the level.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, the difference in the result level.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll give you an example of the wrong way. So having a customer, somebody goes and signs up a customer, say it's a bake shop, Okay. They go home. I call it the kid in the basement theory. He wants to be an entrepreneur. He wants to have Lamborghinis and jets and all this stuff. So he then goes home and starts scheduling out, is what they call it. You schedule out posts for the next 30 days. This is just one small factor that is awful, in my opinion. Schedule out for the next 30-day, you know, posts. Like, you know, come see us, blah, 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 blah. Well, Facebook's whole thing is about first-party connection. People connecting, like you and I connecting. You and I talking. You and I having a conversation. Right. Now you see all these scheduled posts come from a third-party app mm-hmm. that they don't like. It starts to bring down the ranking of the page. Mm-hmm. It deranks the business, the small business page, and they get minimal reach. Mm-hmm. And if somebody actually worked it the right
way. Why do they get minimal reach?
Because they're using a third-party app to schedule it out. Okay. And it's just part of
so it just doesn't get the
it just doesn't get the oomph that's put behind it.
Okay.
Where, you know, small business owners are extremely, extremely busy and extremely vulnerable when it comes to having to put out money. But if they're gonna spend money on that, they need it done the right way. You know, in some of the cases of the right way is
how do you measure that right way? I mean, is it you get your very result oriented or
you measure it the right way by, you get the data back, you get the reach, you get to see how many people are engaging, you get to see the impressions, you get to see there's right. many, many ways that you can go back. And ultimately, the business should almost immediately become busier, depending on what kind of business it is. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much, websites are obviously huge, but for small businesses, Facebook and Instagram, or even Snapchat, depending on their age, what they're selling, that solely can be their website right there. That could be that landing page for them mm-hmm. that they can build and grow off of and just continue to grow their
business. There
are
some businesses that don't even have websites.
Absolutely.
Just use Facebook page.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a bakery right up the street that does only Facebook. They have a website, but I don't think that it's actually active. But every communication, everything is done on their Facebook page, the scheduling. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. I mean, what their specials are, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it's being done the right way, and it's working. You know, and another thing, and I forgot I left this out when I put in, when I said in the beginning about our company, is one thing also that was missing that was, you know, really bothering us was the value first, right? Like where are people giving value first, right? In any kind of marketing world. And that's not like free leads or something like that. That's like actually understanding that, you know, some companies can't spend 10, 15% of their gross income gross income monthly on advertising. So where are you going out and you're actually helping them? Where can you give them free advice to start to handle stuff? Mm-hmm. So we try to, you know, use that
right.
as the main hub.
So you look at all the things that they can do for free or very cheap.
Absolutely.
First.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, but now that you're doing all that, if you target this and that, then mm-hmm. you're really going to jump.
Yep, absolutely.
What do you think of, I mean, a lot of people think that Facebook is really, like, it's not good for business. I mean, it's kind of a useless waste of time.
It's the best thing for business.
Really?
I think it's absolutely the
best
thing
for business. You've heard that, though, right? A lot of people don't think much of it.
A lot of people don't think much of it. Yeah. You know what? It's funny you said that, because yesterday when I was speaking to another person, a client that we just actually had joined our company, he got some advice from a friend or family member and said, you know, hey, Facebook, you know, isn't going to work because XYZ, right? And we just simply pulled up the data. You know, it's not like we're you know, we get, you know, money from Facebook. It's not like
right.
I don't own Facebook, obviously.
Right.
You know,
I don't stock.
It's just like, hey, this is your business and this is the data, mm-hmm. you know, and then data is numbers and numbers don't lie.
Right.
Right. So you got to have that gearing method. And I truly, truly, truly believe that people say Facebook isn't for business because they just don't understand it. They don't understand how certain things work. I fought this when I was in the automotive world, and people can't see me now, but I'm holding my phone in my hand. everybody would say, oh, I can't do this with Facebook. Be like, post a picture, car, do this, try to get a couple of these things. It doesn't work. I can't, blah, blah, blah. And then you would walk up behind them or next to them and they'd be on Facebook talking to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. So it works for you to communicate to your friends, mm-hmm. but it doesn't work for you to communicate to the public and friends.
To potential clients,
mm-hmm. right. So it was, there's a lazy factor. There's a not understanding factor. There's a lot of stuff.
But did that, when they first invented Facebook, in its early years, it seems to me that when you posted, then everything was like automatically viewed by your friends, quote unquote mm-hmm. friends, but also your friends of friends. And yeah. There was a very wide distribution. But then over time, they've limited the distribution because they want to sell. They want you to boost the post and pay for it.
Yeah. And we don't boost anything because boosting is, limited layer targeting. Boosting is, it doesn't.
So you're not recommending boosting Facebook posts?
I don't recommend businesses to boost as a whole. So I always talk higher percentage. So what if I say something, it's, on the higher percentage scale. I don't recommend businesses to boost. I recommend, we do everything through business settings. So it's through a business manager page and we're able to get a lot more data and a lot more different things. And we can actually do a lot of cool stuff for all kinds of different businesses. Just like uploading a video, right? So like if you upload a video directly from your phone to your business, onto your business page, it's different than if you do it from your desktop or if a company like ours does.
Is that right?
Yeah, because we can put certain tags in.
Oh, okay, we can put tags. Yeah.
It's not hashtags. It's like certain actual like relevant tags and different forms of extra layers in there to be able to reach what the purpose of that video is.
Mm-hmm.
But I still tell like the small business owner, just keep it going.
But without boosting, how do you target that? You were talking earlier about those clients that are, 40 to 55 women and, mm-hmm. How do you, without the boost? I mean, that's what it's for, isn't it? That you can target the different groups?
Yeah, you can if you don't have an agency, right? So like for us, we don't boost because we have an in-campaign manager.
You have your own system.
Yeah, and we run it through Ads Manager.
Okay.
Because then with Ads Manager, we can pixel things, you can get all the data. Mm-hmm. It's good to boost things out and for small businesses by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have the money to pay,
right?
To be able to, they're not at that level.
And videos are always good, right?
Videos are phenomenal.
I mean, because I have a video production company,
yeah,
and I post things on both YouTube and Facebook, and it's incredible the exposure you get on Facebook.
Oh, absolutely. Because video
content. Compared to YouTube.
Yeah, video content's number one.
Yeah.
YouTube's dying off because it's a pay to play system now. So they want you to tap in and to pay. And
in order to get exposure?
In order to get exposure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, unless it's something really catchy, like a kid playing a video game and,
or anything to do with cats.
Or anything to do with, yeah, exactly.
they always go.
People are passionate.
They go viral.
Stuff will go viral, but. You see some really good videos on YouTube from businesses that get like 5 views, 6 views.
Yes, it's true.
Stuff like that.
It's true.
But video content is number one. And I tell every business to listen, you have a story, like number one, and we'll stay here with the small business topic, but rule number one, just take your phone, like iPhone 7. Right, the camera's phenomenal. You don't need to have a production style video. You don't have like a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn your phone around, prop it up against something, and talk, and tell people why you opened your business. Tell people.
This actually hurt a lot of my business being a high end video production company. It has hurt me a little bit because people think that they can just use their phone to do it because it is a very sharp image.
Right.
But what I find is that people don't know how to do editing or anything mm-hmm. like that. So then there's a lot of flood of, hey, can you edit this for me?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not complete. But I think there's a certain position for that. I don't know. I have like an opinion about that.
Yeah, I know. We got a little bit different. But the difference is a small business can't come to you and say, here's XYZ dollars and let me do all these videos. it's a much easier and affordable.
It's certainly plan. A lot for, afford, more affordable.
Exactly.
Yes, right. Exactly. So there's always the difference between.
So you need to change to
value and
so I'm auditing. I'm auditing you right now. Okay. Yeah, you need to change your company to medium to larger size businesses, and get them in.
I do. I have a range. Like I just did yesterday. I did a high end video for a law firm.
Right.
But then, you know, we also have the studio here where we can just go live to YouTube or Facebook.
Yeah.
With these low-end cameras. So yeah. I'm trying to be everything at once.
You know what? It's like you got to pick a lane. I'm not talking about you personally.
You can talk about me.
No. I'm saying that's you just nailed the problem that a lot of business owners have. Mm-hmm. They're trying everything to try. Right?
Like
we're trying to do social, we're trying to get data, we're trying to do digital, we're trying to do SEO. And it's like, okay, hold on, time out. Let's take a step back. Let's all breathe. All right. Let's look at where we're at. Let's look at your data. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what you need to accomplish. And let's look at your strengths, weaknesses, the whole nine yards. And then once you build that out and you put it out on paper with them, it's amazing what you can actually accomplish. And again, it goes back to a lot of what we talked about. A lot of people are just like, hey, I don't believe it, you know, or hey, this isn't this. And it's like, listen, it's right here, man. It's been proven. You know, we have success stories that are published for a lookalike style, you know, and different things. So it's a lot easier to show people now than it was before. Marketers got away with a lot of stuff years ago, being able to hide everything that they could possibly hide. So, so now you can't. There's no hiding.
It's interesting because I know you were telling me that you do a lot of behind the scenes stuff and a lot of your business. You know what I mean? It's like you're kind of invisible in a way.
Yeah.
Right? Like the businesses that you help.
Yeah.
So. Just from a marketing standpoint, it must be hard to market yourself when you can't, you know, get a testimonial from the CEO of, you know, ABC company about how you doubled his sales. I mean, how do you reconcile that?
It's tough.
Is it all, you know, word of mouth or this radio show?
Probably just this radio show. No, I mean, so absolutely it's word of mouth. I mean, we've grown from referrals. I mean,
right. And there's no better recommendation in my opinion than a referral.
No. When you work for a client and you're partnered with them, again, cause we're not a vendor, we partner with everybody because of, you know, that's the relationship we love to have. And everybody has my cell phone number. They don't have to call 1-800 number and then, you know, wait 3 days for somebody to get back to them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's hard to not market yourself the way that most of our competition is out there going. You know, they go the route of, they're writing a book. You know, everybody's the number one seller now, right? Free book on Amazon. And then when, you know, 1,000 of them are free downloaded, you know, they're number one seller.
Right.
Which cracks me up. Right. So I wanted to live in the world of the client. It's like, you don't want to, you know, be constantly putting yourself 1,000% out there when you're working for them, because, you know, it's like, hey,
it's not about you,
right? It's not, it's absolutely not. So there's some stuff that we do. I mean, I love to be able to go out and talk to people because I have a very unique story from childhood to, through school and then through the auto industry. Mm-hmm. So I love to go out and do that. And I love to, like I said, preach the entrepreneurship, but, it's not about me. It's about the businesses. Again, I have a phenomenal business partner, Greg Abel, who is, you know, the techiest tech guy in the world that does a ton of work behind the scenes. Nobody ever really hears too much of Greg.
Yeah.
But you know, we have that communication that
right. So you're like you're the front.
I'm like the spokesman,
and he's the chef.
I tell him all the time. I told him a couple of days ago. I said, you know what? I said, you know, we don't lie to people, obviously. Right. But I said, I feel like I'm a politician when I talk to people, you know, because
sales,
it's sales. And I grew up, you know, in sales. So you're always selling something. Like we've always been selling since we were a kid. Like you sold your parents on the fact of why you wanted to have an Oreo you know,
get the car on Friday night.
Right, exactly. We've always been selling, but you know, it's a tiresome world sometimes when you're selling. You don't want to be selling. You're just telling facts.
You want to fulfill.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
want to sell. You want to fulfill people's needs.
Yeah, and you have it, so yeah. you know what it's going to take. So it's like, I'm not selling. I'm just showing you. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've taken that concept and, you know, I've proven it time and time and again.
Do you ever learn anything on the, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when you, and then you say, oh, that would apply to everybody or, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're open to new ideas, obviously.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, if you're, again, that's another business problem, right? For
right.
other people.
Of
like
course.
If you're not open to
Snapchat, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
What's that? I'm not going to deal. Right.
You always have to be open, you know, and you
yeah.
just, you have
to be a real entrepreneur. You have to be, you know, open. You have to listen to people as well. Right. And
yeah.
you have to evolve. As the times are
exactly,
changing.
Exactly. You either adapt or die.
Yeah.
And that is probably the most truthful statement in business right now. You adapt or you die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's an easy way. It's a much easier way now to adapt than it was years ago. Because, you know, think about it this way. You put a billboard sign up, right? And the company that sells you the billboard sign says, you know, 300,000 people drive by it on a weekend headed to the shore. Well, most people are driving, unfortunately, and they're either looking at their phone or they're looking down and talking to somebody else, whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just take 50% of those people out of the fraction. So now we're down to 150,000 people per se, right?
Right.
So now you have 150,000 people driving past this billboard. Okay, so say the billboard is for a Razor Man shave club, right? Okay, now half the people that are driving by are females. They don't care, right? Not paying attention. My point is, by the time you get down to the actual person that might have seen that
and wanted it, yeah.
they forgot about it when they got to the next exit because they're going somewhere.
Right.
So you're spending $5,000-$7,000 on a billboard,
mm-hmm.
and meanwhile, why don't we just run some ads? Why don't we fix some of this? Why don't we do some of this other stuff?
Why don't we target the people that want to buy
exactly,
that razor blade?
Exactly. Instead of going through this crazy nonsense of, you know, this big billboard. But that is, in my belief, that is a business owner that is trying to make the right decision, just got the wrong information.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
You know, it's really interesting, you know, talking about how things are changing. I mean, in the old days, you know, the newspapers were printed and they had ads, you know, printed on them, right? And I guess they still exist, although I don't read newspapers that
yeah.
way anymore.
Yeah.
But now it's like when you go online and read articles, it's subscriber-based and you pay
they want your
a couple of bucks,
mm-hmm.
right? And they get your data, but mm-hmm. they're not putting the ad that you don't care about in front of your face anymore.
Right.
As much.
Right.
Sometimes
yeah.
you get those annoying pop-ups.
Retargeting ads
and stuff like that. But it's not like
ads.
The old days where, you know, every page had like advertising all over it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting how things have changed. But a lot of people haven't really evolved with that. They're still buying those newspaper ads, even though
yeah.
people
well, a lot
are
of, yeah.
not using that as the main source of information.
Right. Well, and then the problem with the banner ads and different things, which ironically is huge and hidden in the automotive industry. But you know, they can't factor in, there's no number to put on where that person came from, right? Like you want to know where all your customers come from.
Right.
1,000% you want to know.
Right.
You know, 50%, most of them, most businesses don't know where their customers come from. But in 2000,
that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. In 2018, with the proper processes, you know, it's people, process, product. And when you mix advertising into that, you should know exactly where everybody is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing should fall through
mm-hmm.
because it's pretty easy to see where they're going.
So what are people doing wrong? I think we spoke about this a little bit, but what do you see people doing wrong to try to market their businesses?
I think they're not taking the time. They're not taking the time to actually. You know, I say this a lot, you know, audit your own business, audit yourself, audit your website, audit your social pages. They're not taking the time to be able to discover where people are coming from, where they need to be, right? And you got companies like Yelp, okay, for example. It's
got a terrible reputation.
Horrible,
yeah.
horrible. even your their own Yelp for Yelp page is absolutely horrible.
People despise Yelp.
Oh, God. Who, yeah. It's extortion. It's extortion. I'm going to say it on air. It's extortion. No, but then, you know, they, if somebody comes up, you know, a business owner has an issue. Like, oh, I can't figure out this. I can't do this. And, you know, and then somebody comes in and goes, listen, I'm from XYZ. I can get, you know, 5 more clients a day for you using this proprietary blah, 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 blah. Business owner goes, okay. If it fits within this little,
yeah.
I mean, the big red flag, there's red flags all over the place that I always say, but you know, one of the red flags is, you know, if it's under $500 and there's promises in it, don't do it. Cause what is $500 going to get you, right? From somebody that doesn't know your business, anybody that walks in and just sees your business. You know, there's people that go to the strip places for all the small businesses. And they walk in each store, and it's the same pitch for each one, right?
Right.
Or if there's any business owners out there listening, I'm sure you got the call, which is your Google listing is about to expire.
Oh, my God. I get the constantly, and I keep blocking the number, and then it comes in another number. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, your Google listing isn't going to expire, most likely.
Right.
You've already claimed it.
Yeah.
They're just trying to sell you Google AdWords. And it's not Google, not somebody from Google. And it can't be.
Right, no, it's a third party.
It's a third party. Right. And they're trying to sell you Google AdWords. So they're promising you, for $10,000, you can own your zip code and be the number. If you anybody that Googles bakery, you'll come up in your zip code and it only costs $10,000. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that the mistakes that are being made from businesses is not necessarily from the business owners as a higher percentage. I think it's coming from the amount of people that are bombarding them, and they're trying to make a quick decision on something that they should not be making a quick decision.
Or they're making that decision at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know what else drives me crazy about those numbers is that they use local numbers somehow. Like they'll be calling from Wichita, Kansas or something, but it comes in a 609 area code.
Yeah, they're using...
And then, you know, it's like you block that number. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's like they just... It's almost like, what is it, rotate? Like they have like 1,000 numbers to work with.
They're using Google Voice, right? Yeah. So they buy a Google Voice number, you know, and it can come up 267, you know, or 610 in this area.
215.
215. And it seems like it's a local person.
Local. So, of course, I'm answering it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's just a different country. You know, people trying to get you onto it. Actually, my business partner, Greg, sat on one of those phone calls and went along with it. And that's where I got the number 10,000 because they explained everything out to him. And, you know, when it came down to it, it was one zip code for, you know, $10,000 for XYZ, and, you know, you can't quantify anything. You don't know what's going on.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people are so passionate about, you know, Googling their business and wanting to be number one organically if you do it all right. And it's inexpensive. You can be, you know, on the first page of Google in the, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth, depending on what kind of business you are, without spending any money on AdWords.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just done the right way.
Mm-hmm. So. Organic reach.
Organic, right. Yeah, absolutely.
They used to say that no one goes past the first page. Is that still true?
Yeah, page 2 of Google is like, oh, if I see a business, if I'm
might as well be page 150.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So if I'm looking for a business and I find them on page 2, I almost immediately know exactly why they're on page 2. And it's I'm telling you, it's easy to fix. It's extremely easy to fix. It's just cooperation with a business owner and employees can fix it. And this is more towards that small, medium business.
So obviously it's important to once, you know, a company hires your business to retain your business so that mm-hmm. because of all the changes that occur.
Yeah.
But do you also give people things that they can do on their own?
Yeah, absolutely.
To help themselves out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have one right now. We signed this client up, and this was a referral that came through to us, and they need, you know, they would be on our elite package and everything that they need. I mean, they need it all. Fresh website, they need it all. And we decided to, you know, I always play the long game, right? Because I know this business is going to be able to thrive once everything's fixed. So we decided to take them on at a very low, you know, price point.
Very nice. Okay.
And fix everything. Mm-hmm. And their office manager is such a phenomenal person that has, that's very skilled in about three or four different areas, that we're able to have them take that on, because we never want anybody in an office or working for a business to take time away from their actual job, because then it's counterproductive, right? So, but she's able to do this extra.
You mean promoting
stuff.
The business, marketing the business?
Yeah, like
that's,
you know,
part of my job.
Yeah, but like if you work in a busy office and the phone's ringing,
yeah,
you got to answer the phone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You can't.
And you
got to
do the work for the clients. Yeah.
Exactly, and you can't be playing with something else.
That's true.
So, yeah, we took them on, and we're going to grow them, and I know they're going to grow big from where they're at, and they actually have a plan of where they want to be after the first year. So, and that was one of the main reasons why we connected so well. And, you know, I hate to say money doesn't matter, but in cases like this, you play the long game, and, you know, hopefully it works out with what we believe it's going to work out, and, you know, we'll be sitting good with them. But it's nice sometimes to be able to be in a position too where you can help people, you know.
Well, it sounds like you're helping people all the time.
We try.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we try. I mean, there's so many hours in, you know, in, right, in a day.
You guys do web? I didn't realize you do websites? Or?
Yeah, we're a full service marketing agency. So, I mean, we do everything from websites, SEO, SEM, social, you know,
social media distribution.
Yeah, data partnerships. Right. I mean, we do it all. We don't outsource anything. We don't use any third party.
You do everything.
Apps. We do it all. It's all done at our fingertips. It's all done organically. Mm-hmm. We do it all.
Now you could. I mean, with your business, and you have clients all over the country. Mm-hmm. Why do you live here? Just because you grew up in Bucks? You like Bucks a lot, or why didn't you move to New York City, or, you know, LA, or, you know, I don't know.
This area keeps me level. It keeps us, you know, more or less grounded. I think that's a mistake that marketing agencies and other businesses make as well. I think that once they start to get some traction and they start to get some good clients and they start to grow and XYZ, they take off to Miami, or they take off to Silicon Valley, or they take off to New York City. And I think that that actually hurts you, because it puts you out of the world that you originated from where you're, what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to, you know, people surround themselves with people that are going to either help them grow or bring them down. And I'm not saying that Silicon Valley or New York City or Miami are bad places, but I think that if you have a vision and you have a business and you've started it in that spot and you have a good support system around you, and you're looking to continue to grow it, I think you should stay planted right where you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my theory on that. it's a big world out there, right? So, I mean,
it is.
There's a lot of bad mistakes that decisions that can happen. And,
well, I mean, you know, in my case, I love living here. I mean, I live here in Lambertville, and it's a beautiful place. Yeah. But this was like my field of dreams, where I was, if they would come to me.
Yeah.
And I, they don't come to me. I mean, I have to work all over. You know what I mean? It's like, if I stayed in New York, I think I probably would have a lot more business.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love to visit New York. And I think that we could absolutely be more effective on a larger business side. We have some large businesses, but I think that we could pick a lot more just from being up there, because I'll go up for business trips and stuff.
Right.
But, you know,
it helps keep you grounded.
It helps keep me grounded here. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, I mean, if we moved to New York City or something like that, then I don't want my kids to be, you know what I mean, shifted like that. And, you know, my youngest is 10, so I only have 8 more years to go. And, you know, he's planning on starting his own company. And
that's an important factor too. A lot of people sacrifice their family for the business.
No,
you're not doing that.
No, we're very comfortable where we're at. We're very comfortable with everything that we're doing. Right. And every day that we wake up, our goal is to just help our clients and get more clients and help them start this real shift that's happening, that's going on. The unknown shift, I call it, which is business owners that just don't know what's out there that can help them.
What about companies? Do you only deal with companies that are just strictly American companies, or do you deal with companies that deal with Canada, Mexico, Europe?
Anybody. We do, honestly, we deal with anybody. It's just there's different rules, right? So there's different metrics with, you know, Facebook. There's certain different Google issues you run into. There's certain different website issues that you might run into. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking of a client as you said that. So there's a client that we sent a proposal to. I met him. And a super, super nice guy looking to grow in California, but his business is based in two places, Australia and the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's predominantly in Australia. So, yeah, I mean, we're open for anything. I mean, we can tackle any project and projects. And I think that, you know, as we grow and as more and more people grab traction of what we're doing and the phone calls and different things like that, I could totally see us being in a lot of different countries helping out. I'd love to be over in London. I would love that. Live there.
Why is that?
Open up an office.
You just like
the opportunity.
There? Oh, okay.
There's a lot of opportunity
in England
over there. Absolutely.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
And they speak English.
And they speak
that
English.
Helps.
So it's easy. And it's not a long plane ride. So.
Yes, it is. I hate going to Europe.
Yeah.
It kills you with the time change.
Well,
the time change is what gets you.
I'll take that from having to fly to
Australia. It takes a couple of days
to
adjust. Yeah, I've never been to Australia.
Yeah, no.
So I have no idea. No. But that's so far away that maybe there's no problem. It's like, 12 hours or something different.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So, Impressive Media Group. So it's interesting also that you said that it sounds like you kind of have like almost a sliding scale on like you're not afraid to take on a small business.
No, not at all.
That might not be able to afford what a
Absolutely.
Larger business can do.
Absolutely.
So you embrace different size businesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have large businesses that have the budget to afford, what they need to do with their plan.
Right.
And we have medium.
Which is big scale.
Which is big scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but as far as corporate America goes, though, for big businesses, they haven't really caught on too much.
Is that right?
And paying attention. Yeah, they're the ones keeping the TV, you know, the commercials live and different things like that. But medium-sized businesses, you know, they're very I'm passionate about all businesses, but I see medium-sized businesses as the most sensitive you have to work with because there's more employees and they usually are the ones that have a lower cash flow. So you kind of have
How do you define medium size?
21 to plus employees.
21 to 100 or
20? Yeah, 21 to 100 employees.
Okay.
And there's a lot more factors that play into it too because there's a lot more employees. There's a lot of different, sectors in the business. And, you know, that's when you scale up from small to – and small, again, is different because – we have small businesses that I actually believe are medium-sized businesses, but they call themselves small businesses. But when you scale up to medium-sized businesses, then they might have a marketing director they hired, you know, came out of school. Unfortunately, schools, you know, colleges aren't teaching kids what marketing is right now. They're just not. They're years behind, and they're trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So small businesses that – are just, you know, you open up a small business, you're in debt, right? You know you're in debt. Like your first year,
sure.
If you're a commodity, right, you got to worry about anything that could jeopardize recession, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
if you're debt free, okay, you still have to, and you're something that's like a wow factor, I call it, right? That's like, wow, they just put this in this ice cream shop in the middle of this, and there's a school over here, and there's all this stuff, and it's the cool things. So we're all going to run to it, you know, like the whole, you know, Starbucks theory. Oh, there's a new Starbucks here. Let's all just flood to that one, even though there's one a quarter mile down the road. But those type businesses, they have a 1 year run of being important. Then the second, most of them have phenomenal first years. The second year is the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't collect all their proper data, if they don't have lookalike audiences, if they don't have a set of process for, putting in a small marketing budget, year two, they'll fail. And that happens time and time again. I mean, right in our own area here. I mean, it's just, you see them open up, shut down.
Yeah,
open
no, you up. Do. You see it
Isn't
a lot.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, open up, shut down. And they're popular.
I think restaurants in particular.
Yeah, restaurants.
We'll start off with the wow factor and then.
Yep.
6 months later, they're empty.
Absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Can't keep the people coming.
They're not innovating and changing. Yeah. And so there's two sides to that. You have to innovate and change because you got to understand, you got to live in the reality of the world, right? Which is that there's the wow factor. There's no doubt about it. And once you open up, you have that 1 year, literally.
Can you recapture the wow factor by changing your business name?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, Starbucks, actually, I was cracking up. So Starbucks in Newtown had one on the corner, and then they opened up another one, like, literally almost across the street, and took the other one down. And everybody was like, oh, there's a new Starbucks. And they all just run the Starbucks.
See, I don't know. Is that franchise business or is that corporate?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't want them to, you know, come after me and yell at me. But I have no idea.
I think it is corporate. I think it's owned by Starbucks. It's not.
But even Wawa.
They're all employees.
Right? Even Wawa. Yeah. You know, for everybody that's in, you know, the eastern PA, New Jersey area, you know, there's a Wawa a mile down the road. And then 2 miles down the road, they build a new Wawa. And everybody just
people
like,
love Wawa in the East Coast.
Yeah, and then they're like, "Oh my gosh, there's a new Wawa!"
They love the place is packed all the time.
Yeah, did you see it? Did you go in it? Did you? I'm like, it's a Wawa, you know. But you have like that, you know, 1 year run, and you have to live in the world of reality that you know you have 1 year. Okay,
I don't think people realize that,
and they don't,
no.
And they actually get mad if you say it to them. So I'm saying it here, so I hope people actually listen, so they can't get mad at me in person. But you have that 1 year, and within that 1 year, you have to appease every customer. You can't turn down business, even if it, you know, you have to sleep on the floor of your business. You have to get ready to adapt and change for year two. And you have to have some sort of budget set in place to be able to go. And you have to be consistent. You know, businesses fail all the time from being inconsistent. So there's a lot of opportunity. But we do take on some free projects to help small
like
businesses.
Like nonprofits and stuff?
Well, I'm part of MS Run for Research. I'm on the board for them. So we do a lot of stuff for them. They actually wanted to pay. I would never take a dime from that. That's
from a nonprofit.
Right. I would never, ever in my life do that. So we do that. But no, we've had small businesses that, you know, again, playing the long game. I will take my time and we will, you know, do what we need to do to an extent to try to help the business. And if the business grows, my long term hope is they open up franchise 2, 3, 4, 5, and then they need a full fledged marketing team, and we're the ones.
And you would get it, yeah.
We're the ones to go to, that's, right? Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, believe it or not, we just went through a whole hour.
Wow.
It was really, really interesting. But let's just talk about, you know, how to contact your business again, Impressive Media Group.
Yep. ImpressiveMediaGroup.com. We're on Facebook, obviously, on Impressive Media Group. We're Instagram. We are Impressive Media Group. My Instagram account is Real Chris Bennett. And we have on our website, you can, if you're a business owner and you want to submit a free evaluation form.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
So you can do that.
Yeah.
You fill out a form online.
We do a free audit for your business and then get you back with what we think you should be geared towards for heading down the future.
Oh, there goes the music. Yep. So we ran a full hour. This is really, really interesting, Chris. I really appreciate it. I'm going to shake your hand while we're still on the air.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you about my business once we're off the air. But it was really, really interesting.
It was great. You got a great location here. I can't thank you enough for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, keep the faith and everything.
Absolutely.
Keep helping those businesses. And thanks again.
Thank you.